Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering.
I am being haunted.
Halloween. It's a time for trick-or-treating, scary movies, pumpkin brews, and drag. You may not know it, but October is the busiest month of the year for drag queens and kings. And I am joined in studio by three radiant local drag performers, Kirby Fully Loaded, Severity Stone, and Binks. Welcome to all three of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So, Kirby, Severity, Binks, later we will have video and pictures on our website. But for now, because this is radio, can you describe your look? Kirby, let's have you go first.
Today I am wearing a handmade jack-o'-lantern inspired all orange and black look with really big shoes.
With really big shoes. I can't see your shoes. They're under the table. But and your makeup? Anything you want to say about your makeup?
Oh, sure. It's like candy corn colors with a little bit of spooky black elements.
Excellent.
Tie it all together.
There you go. Binks, how about you?
I'm the Wicked Witch of the West before the house fell on top of her. So just a black gown. And I kind of like Morticia, maybe.
Yeah, a little bit of Morticia.
I like a V-bang.
You got a bit of a Maleficent thing going, too, without the horns.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Severity, how about you?
I just look like a regular nice woman. Just no. Kidding, I don't. I couldn't decide whether to be a goblin, a skeleton, Frankenstein, or a zombie, or a witch, so I did all three. And I'm green.
So, any... True. Very green, as a matter of fact. Any inspirations beyond the characters that you just... Like Candy Corn, Wicked Witch of the West, 17 different things for you, Severity. Any other inspirations behind your looks today or how you're thinking about dressing for Halloween?
I mean, I have a big, like, exciting Halloween look that I've been working on for, like, a month that's really inspired by Lucy Westerna from Bram Stoker's Dracula. Mm-hmm. I just think she's, like, the prettiest vampire I've ever seen, so.
So you're going all in on that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's with, like, the big frilly white collar. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about Halloween, because a lot of our listeners may not know, Halloween is an important holiday in the drag world. Is that correct?
Oh, of course.
So, Binks, tell us about that.
I think like Halloween would probably be my favorite time of year in general, but like for drag queens, like in drag kings, I think that's like one of the times of year like we're most like paid and booked, and like we have the most gigs and are put on the biggest platform to show besides Pride in June. But I would say Halloween would be either the first or the second most popular time for us to show what we're doing.
So it's not only popular for you, but it's an income time for your performances
yes.
as well. Is that right?
Definitely.
I am paying my rent with this money.
All right. Severity, you were nodding. What would you add to that?
I agree. It is an important time for drag entertainers who wish to indulge in Halloween. I know a lot of people, when you dress up professionally pretty much all year, it can be kind of like exhausting to, you know, put in the extra work during Halloween. It's basically like working at Macy's during Christmas. You know, it's like doing drag during October. It's like, it's kind of like... It's great. It's a lot of fun, but it's also like a lot of work and it's like very taxing sometimes, you know, depending on what you do and how often you perform. But it's definitely a lot of fun and it's definitely me personally, it inspires me to like bring out that extra amount of energy or that extra effort into like creating a look that I probably normally wouldn't wear. You know, any other time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm always a little bit Halloween-y if anyone knows me, but you know, it's different, you know.
Kirby, was Halloween important to you growing up?
Oh, really important to me. I think it was like this time where I got to create with like important adults in my life that were like teaching me how to sew and put together costumes. And it was just really exciting. I remember spending like the entire month of September thinking about like what I would be that year. And I always coordinated with one of my best friends. So that was always like a super fun time. It's how I learned how to sew. It was just like pure fun.
Binks, the craftsmanship that goes into the makeup and the costumes that the three of you wear, not just at Halloween. I've looked through sort of your Instagram history and some of your other costumes, if that's an appropriate word to use. These are extremely technical, complicated, high art costumes. How much time does it take you to create a complete look?
Depends how inspired I am. And sometimes I can make like an entire outfit in a couple days if I really sit down to do it. I like to kind of take my time sometimes. I would say like the most a week is like how long I would like to spend on an outfit making it. But it could be a day if I have, you know, enough ambition to do it, get it done that day. I did recently start making a lot of my own stuff, so it's really fun. But sometimes it can be really boring to sit with a sewing machine for hours.
Sewing can be quite boring. Yeah. Severity.
Yes.
Halloween is a time when people get to step outside of themselves. Everyone gets to. It's a time when you can assume a different identity, a different persona. My perception, as somebody who clearly is not someone who's got a lot of experience with drag, is that part of drag is pushing social boundaries. First, is that a reasonable or fair thing to say? And does Halloween actually, is it a time when you, as it, doing drag, push boundaries less or just more and in new ways? Do you understand what my question is?
I do. I feel like in general, again, you know, it's all suggestive. A lot of people do drag for a lot of different reasons. I think it's always in some way about pushing boundaries and challenging the ideas of like gender and like how we present ourselves and how we want the world to like see us, you know, whether it's a character or if it's like an extension of your own self. Halloween, I guess, again, depending on who you are, can bring that out more, you know, and more people who may otherwise not be as inspired to dress up or try something new or whatever, like, would be more so inclined, you know, during this season.
Kirby, I want to ask you, Severity just brought up the concept of gender, and we've talked, as we were talking to you guys before this segment, about how drag is a way to be playful and experimental with gender. It's not just guys dress up as girls. Mm-hmm. And it's not just gender binary play either. So I kind of want to ask you, you were raised as a woman. Your drag is feminine. How did you come to drag?
I came to drag through friends and community and obviously things like RuPaul's Drag Race and being exposed to, like, drag on bigger platforms. But drag includes all of the things I've always been really passionate about. I was a makeup artist before I was a drag artist, making costumes and performance. So it made sense to be a drag queen, but no one told me that I could be a drag queen because I was raised a woman, and I had never seen that before. And then in the age of Instagram and the internet, you get to see so many people that you wouldn't normally see and hear their voices. And I was lucky to experience all kinds of gendered people that sort of gave me permission to start. And then once I started, it was just kind of took off.
Binks, how did you come to drag?
Kind of the same I was always really, really into fashion and kind of to bring it back to what you said earlier about like wearing a costume. I never really consider what I wear to be a costume. Like everything I consider, like I'm very into fashion. So like if it wouldn't be on a runway, it wouldn't be on me. It's just a different way of dressing to me. And I was always, always, always into fashion, and men's fashion could only be pushed so far. It was like a whole world of just women's clothes that I was not able to really grasp. I could always see it in magazines and on runways, and I could never wear it. And then I kind of saw people doing drag, and I was like, oh, I could wear fashion too. That isn't, you know, just men's and really cool.
So you, you said once that your childhood inspiration, one of your childhood inspirations, was Cruella de Vil.
Oh, yes. And I love Cruella.
Yeah, so why?
I don't, she was just like the coolest female to me. I don't know why. She always was dressed like Glenn Close in like the live action one. It was just my favorite. Like, she had so many cool outfits. She didn't really care. She kind of just did whatever she wanted and looked really cool doing it. Like, I loved all of her outfits.
I want to stay on the fashion conversation for a minute. Earlier in my career, the first time I became the head of an organization, I figured out very quickly that if I dressed very glamorously, that was really a signal of my power, and it gave me command in a room that I couldn't have otherwise.
Oh, yeah. No one can ever tell me anything when I look like this, because you just look so amazing. There's nothing anyone can say to you.
It makes you feel powerful?
Yeah. Walking down the street, no one can say anything because I look so much better than you. Like, not to be, like, cocky or anything, but,
no,
like,
today you definitely look better than me.
My outfit is amazing, and people are in, like, jeans and t-shirts, so, like, you can't say anything to me.
So that makes me wonder, when you're not in drag.
Yeah.
Well, let me put it this way. When do you feel more you?
there's both times when, like, I can be, because I dress really nicely as a boy, too, sometimes. I can definitely be in sweatpants and, like, a t-shirt and just be, like, chilling. But, like, fashion to me is on both sides. So it just depends on my outfit is how real I feel, truly myself, depending on the outfit. But in drag more so, because I do push fashion more in drag.
So, Viri, let's talk about Boston.
You don't want to talk about fashion anymore?
Well, do jump in. If you got stuff to say on fashion, you should do so. Jump in.
Well, I just was kind of like agreeing with most of what Binks is saying, with like growing up, kind of looking up to like villains and heroines and like kind of these empowered like female figures, whether they were like fictional or not. And definitely this the fashion, like supermodel aspect. You know, when I was a kid, I used to draw, you know, like comic book character, like super voluptuous, like women in these like crazy costumes and stuff. And that's kind of like what got me on the path of like getting and experimenting in drag and that whole thing. And it's like, I never was trying to like emulate a woman, but it's like Binks was saying, like having some, I think it was Wesley Snipes said in Tu Wong Fu, is like, oh, I'm just like, I'm paraphrasing, like being too fabulous for like one gender, like kind of thing. And
yeah,
like
too much fashion for one gender.
Yeah, something. Yeah, yeah. Again, paraphrasing. But yeah, that's where kind of like it stemmed from. And I was always more interested in like feminine fashion. And
because it's so much more fun.
Just so much more fun. And there's only so much, you know, you can do, you know.
Is men's fashion starting to catch up? Are we entering an age where there's more experimentation that a young person could do with men's fashion than they could even 5 years ago or 10 years ago? Or am I just...
I think it's more like those things are becoming more blurred. Like, there's more androgynous fashion options out there, I think, and more lines and designers who are thinking about making clothing less strictly gendered.
What do you say? What is your message, any of the three of you, to people who are profoundly uncomfortable with that idea, profoundly uncomfortable with the idea that we should blur the lines between fashion or gender identity or our more traditional understandings of men wear pants and women wear skirts? I mean, the whole Hillary Clinton in pants thing was just a couple years ago, but still a really big deal. Like it was some big thing that she was wearing pants. So how do you address people who greet you with discomfort?
Don't wear what I'm wearing. Wear what you want to wear. I'll wear what I want to wear. And we'll stay away from each other. I don't know. To me, it's like to judge somebody based on what they're wearing. Like, you're not wearing it. You don't have to wear it. Don't look at it. You know, like, we're not forcing anybody else to dress like us. We're not forcing anybody else to wear makeup with us. If you don't want to look at us, don't look at us. Just walk away.
Just walk away.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's not your life. Yeah. There's no laws to say I can't dress like this.
And if you want to wear a Red Sox jersey, like, that's fine, you know.
I'm not going to judge you.
That's
I'm
going to
judge you, but I'll be nice about it.
Yeah, you know.
Is that because you don't like the fashion or you're not a Sox?
Both.
Go Red Sox.
Yay, we love the Red Sox.
All right. I do want to come back to Boston. So a few weeks ago was Boston Fashion Week. We had an interview here on Radio Boston where we talked about the aspirations from the founder of Boston Fashion Week that over time, Boston might stop being sort of dissed for how poor fashion is in Boston. But my understanding that is that in the drag community, Boston is actually quite cutting edge and leading edge. Is that right? Is that an accurate perception?
Why'd you both look at me?
I think we're getting there. I'm actually doing a show next year. I am planning on working with a lot of people in Boston with who make and create their own stuff, and we're actually going to do a fashion show. I don't have a date for it yet, but I have talked to the venue, and they did say yes. But we're going to make a show based on people who make stuff, queer people who make their own things in Boston, like wigs, makeup, outfits, clothes, and put on a fashion show at some point next year. So there are people who do, it's not really thought of as Boston, but we do make some really cool clothes and fashion and looks.
And Kirby, how about the overall drag scene in Boston? How would you characterize it?
I love it so much. I have never been happier in my life than being engaged in this community. And I think something that we're doing really right is focusing on expanding diversity and just really thinking about including everybody and supporting all different kinds of art and just being really open to new people in our community, because the bigger it is, the better it is, in my opinion.
Severity, when you perform, would you refer to it as performance art? Do you think of yourself as a performance artist? And if not, how do you think about your work?
Absolutely. Well, I think everything that we do, if we're on stage performing, is performance art. I don't know how to answer that question.
Well, let me ask you a different one then. As you think about preparing for a performance,
okay,
what are all the pieces that go into that preparation for you?
It all depends. You know, sometimes it's music inspired. Like, I'll hear a song and be like, oh, this would be like a cool thing that I could do with this. Or I'll get like an image of like a look that I want to do. I think for me personally, a lot of my drag is like visual based. Like, I'm not like a dancer or like much of a comedian, but I like to put together, you know, the head to toe look and have it, you know, tell a story, whether it is, you know, something silly or something dramatic. I think that's kind of what it stems from, is like the visual art, because I've been a visual artist since I was a child.
What kind of art did you start with?
Everything. Sculpting, painting, mixed media stuff. I went to art school, ceramics, different stuff, animation, lots and lots of drawing as a wee lad. Everything. You could ask my family, you know, growing up, if I could do anything with my hands. Like, I was always like creating stuff.
And Severity, how would you say that Boston's drag scene has evolved since you first started in it?
It's evolved tremendously. I've been involved in the scene for like about 8-ish years at this point, from when I first started. And it was not nearly as like diverse and interesting as it is now. It was kind of very, like we were saying at the beginning, like guys dressed up as ladies in sequin dresses, and that was just kind of like it. Or at least that was all that I saw, and that's all that I was like educated on in the beginning, you know, mm-hmm. first coming out and stuff. It's I learn something new like every time I come out, and I meet like a new entertainer like every time I come out, and I think that's like incredible.
Binks, what do you think is the next stage of evolution for Boston's drag community? Where are we going?
I don't really know. I think we're going to, I hope we're going to places where we don't have to just perform at like 1 o'clock in the morning every night. I would like to see drag just in different places that you wouldn't expect it. Like in, brunches are becoming really popular. There's a lot of them popping up, but like even like places where we don't have to perform would be like really cool. It's like a place I would like to see drag, like in magazines, like in New York City, it's like not impossible to get inside a magazine being a drag queen doing fashion. In Boston, that's like unheard of. I don't know where I would ever find that. So I think that would be really cool to see, like, in Boston, drag queens doing something else besides performing at nightclubs and bars.
And maybe part of Boston Fashion Week.
Yes,
family.
Maybe.
Boston Fashion Week, if you're listening.
Maybe if my show's good next year, we'll get there.
Kirby, sort of in last words, what does the drag community mean to you as a performer and a person?
Ooh, that's a good one. It's definitely like family in a lot of ways, and it's a space where I definitely have felt really safe to express myself however that may look, without being worried about being questioned or and just feeling overwhelming support for the most part. And it's a place where you can witness people like really being vulnerable and intimate and expressing their creativity. And I think that's a beautiful thing. We don't get that everywhere in this world. So
that is Kirby Fully Loaded. And you can find Kirby and Binks tomorrow night performing at the Shoreleaf Tiki Bar in the South End. And you can find Severity Stone performing at the Halloween Night Spooktacular at the Royale. There'll be more information, photos, and video on our website, radioboston.org. Thanks to all three of you for being with us.
Thank you
so much.
That is our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.